It was against my mother, and it was 25 years old. I had fed it, fanned it, and nurtured it as one might a delicate child. And it has become a part of me, as much a part of me as my breathing. Look what it did for her. It provided me with my excuses for my lack of education, my marital failures, my personal failures, inadequacy, and of course my alcoholism. And though I really thought I'd been willing to part with it, now I knew I was reluctant to let it go. One morning, however, I realized I had to get rid of it, for my reprieve was running out. And if I didn't get rid of it, I was going to get drunk, and I didn't want to get drunk anymore. In my prayers that morning, I asked God to point out to me some way to be free of this resentment. During the day, a friend of mine brought me some magazines to take to a hospital group I was interested in. And I looked through them, and a banner across the front of one of them featured an article by a prominent clergyman in which I caught the word resentment. He said, in effect, and here it is, if you have a resentment you want to be free of, if you will pray for the person or thing that you resent, you will be free. If you will ask in prayer for everything you want for yourself to be given to them, you will be free. Ask for their health and their prosperity and their happiness, and you will be free. Even when you don't really want it for them and your prayers are only words and you don't mean it, go ahead and do it anyway. Do it every day for 2 weeks, and you find that you've come to mean it and want it for them, and you will realize that where you used to feel bitterness, resentment, and hatred, you now feel compassionate, understanding, and love. Well, I went home after that conference, and I got in my little bed over there, and sure enough, my whole mind started racing uncontrollably. And I began to think of those people, replaying that in my head again. And I said, I think I'll pray for those people. And I prayed for them several times that night and went to sleep. The next morning I got up, I said, I think I'll pray for those people. And I prayed for them. My list began to get longer. And as the days went by, I began to pray for them. It seemed like I was in constant prayer all the time. I'd be driving down the street praying out loud in my car. I'm sure people thought I was crazy. I was, but, you know, I was praying for those people. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, but I know that some 2-3 weeks later, I don't know, it was in the springtime, though. I know that after a cold winter. And I got stuck in the stoplight there in the 31st and Lewis in Tulsa. It's a beautiful area of Tulsa. And just the length of a stoplight, I looked over there at that beautiful, beautiful house that was sitting on the corner. All the tulips were in full bloom, red and yellow. The grass was green. The birds were singing. The little squirrels were jumping around the trees. The trees were in bloom. And I thought to myself, my God, it's a beautiful morning. I mean, absolutely a beautiful morning this morning. And then the thought came to me was this. Well, how long has it been since I've seen those colors? Do you know I could not remember ever seeing those colors? Ever? When this talks about being cut off in the sunlight of the Spirit, I know what that means. I really do know what that means. And I don't want to go back into that ever again. And I've always tried to figure out a way to get even with people. And I finally figured out the way you get even with people is you pray for them. You love them. You get even with loving them. And there's not a better way to love people than pray for them. And when you pray for them, then you're even. And all that hate and anger goes away. See, I've learned another little lesson from that, too. That love is forgiving. And love is forgiving. You see. Thank God for this program. Otherwise, I'd still be back there somewhere.
I think the reason this works so well is that we're praying for the welfare of another human being, asking God to give them in their lives what we wish for our own, the same peace of mind, happiness, serenity, prosperity, whatever it is we want. Prayer for another human being is one of the greatest expressions of love that one human being can have for another, and love and hate can exist on the same plane. As we pray for them, after a while, we wake up some morning, and by God, his resentment's gone. And in this place, we find a little understanding, a little compassion, a little tolerance, a little patience with other human beings. Now, just think. If 95% of these resentments up here in my display cases in my head, if 95% of them disappeared because they looked so stupid, if the other 5 can be removed through prayer, then that means I can empty those display cases out, my mind becomes resentment-free. When that happens to me, another natural law applies. There's another law that says nature abhors a vacuum. No such thing as a vacuum or a void. There's always something rushing in to fill it up. If those resentments disappear, God's not going to leave another hole in my head. I've got enough of those already. If the resentments disappear, they're going to have to be replaced. And the only thing that will replace them will be the opposite of them. And where my mind used to be filled with resentments, now it's filled with love, patience, tolerance, compassion, and goodwill toward my fellow man. You see, that's God's thinking. And to my amazement, I found out I didn't have to go to any other fellowships. I didn't have to read any other books to find love, patience, tolerance, compassion, and goodwill. If God dwells within me, that's always been a part of my makeup. I just never could use it before. In my chase for money, power, prestige, sex, what I thought were the good things of life, those feelings had to be repressed to let me operate on the level I wanted to operate on. But now the resentments are gone. Automatically, they are replaced. I'm in much less chance of getting drunk now than I was before I started this little process. I've gotten rid of those resentments. That part of my mind now has a little serenity, at least a little peace of mind, and a little bit of happiness. A very simple, positive process. Nothing negative here at all. Now, I've got to do one more thing before we quit. It really wouldn't do me any good to get rid of these resentments if I didn't know how to keep them from coming back. Because the world's full of sick people, and they're going to do it to me again tomorrow. And if I'm not careful, I'll let myself resent. And if I resent one, I can't have just one. The next thing you know, I've got two. And then they double up, and I've got four, and then eight, and then 16, and then 32, and I'm a basket case before you know it. So I've got to do one more thing. Now, let's look at your last two columns in your handout sheet. And let's go to page 67, down in the middle of the page, referring to our list again. You see, that's why you got to have a written inventory. This is the second time we've been asked to go back and look at it again. Putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventories was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly, and were willing to set these matters straight. So I went to the fourth column, and you'll notice that fourth column in your inventory sheet is headed up. Putting out of mind the wrongs others had done, I resolutely looked for my own mistakes. What did I do, if anything, to set in motion trains of circumstances, which in turn caused people or institution to hurt me, and eventually led to my resentment of them for doing so? So I went to the first name on the sheet, the lady named Barbara. And I said, okay, Charlie, now you do what your book's telling you to do. You forget those three divorces that she filed for. What did you do, if anything, to set that thing in motion, and perhaps cause her to file for the three divorces? Hell, it didn't take 5 seconds. I said, if I hadn't been out there screwing around, I'd go in and got caught. Joe calls it committing adultery. I call it screwing around. If she hadn't caught me, she probably wouldn't have filed for divorce. I thought about this a little bit more, and I said, Charlie, if you hadn't been sneaking around behind her back lying to her all the time, she might not have filed for divorce in the first place. I said, Charlie, if you'd been using your money to take care of your wife, your children, and your home, instead of blowing it on booze and everything that goes with it, she might not have filed for divorce in the first place. I began to see where I had made decisions based on self, which later placed me in a position to be hurt. And all Barbara did was react to the things that I myself had done. Then I looked into the fifth column, and I said, where had I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, or inconsiderate? Those are the basic character defects that all human beings have. All others stem from those listed right there. Was I selfish in this situation? You bet you I was. I wasn't worried about Barbara or anybody else. Was I dishonest? You bet I was. Was I self-seeking and frightened? I found myself saying, man, you're getting close to 40 years old. If you don't get out there and get some of it now, it'll be too late before long. Fear drives people to do a lot of things they shouldn't be doing. Was I inconsiderate of my wife and children? You bet you. And the first time in my life, I begin to see why I love that resentment so well. Because you see, every time I played it over in my head, I distorted the picture just a little bit. I made her filing for three divorces a little bit worse. I made what I did just a little bit less. And let me play it long enough, I can distort the picture to the point that I transfer all blame to her and make myself as pure as a driven snow.